Well, when the music dies down, that's when the children get restless. So if they get restless, that's just what they do. It's okay. Let them scream and wiggle and, you know, run around. Just somebody else will catch them. Don't worry about it. So glad to have you here this morning. This is just a special time. It's pretty unique, and I'm so glad you came this morning to be with us. I just want to walk through the Christmas story with you this morning. I thought it'd be appropriate, but let's pray first. God, I thank you that we have the best news in the world. And then we're looking at a day tomorrow that we see as so many things, time with family and eating and joy and feasting. But God, it's all because you sent your son, because you love us so much. And we thank you for that. God, we thank you for this good news that we celebrate this morning. God, I pray that as we just continue to gather here, Lord, that we would sense your presence and that we would just leave here with a gratefulness for what you've done for us, and a passion to share that good news with other folks who have yet to really hear it and understand it. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, something I've noticed about the Christmas story is that it has the element of surprise running through it just constantly. It's like every time you turn the page and there's a new wrinkle in the story, it's always the commonality of it's always surprise. If you have your Bible, we're going to start out in the first chapter of Luke. And Luke is in the New Testament of the Bible, so it's a little bit more than three-fourths of the way, all the way through your Bible. And Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, we're going to go to Luke 1 and 2, and then we'll switch over to Matthew 2 in a little bit. But follow along with us. In Luke 1:13, there was a priest named Zechariah. He was the first to step on board the surprise train when Gabriel, an angel of the Lord, surprised him in the temple as he was burning incense. We read what happened in Luke 1:13. It says, the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you are to call him John." That son was John the Baptist. He would become John the Baptist, and it was his job to introduce and to prepare the way for Jesus Christ to come and introduce him to the world. And that encounter with Zechariah's encounter with Gabriel left him speechless. Okay, the next person to be surprised was none other than Mary, the soon-to-be mother of Jesus. And once again, Gabriel showed up with this time with a birth announcement. This one even more surprising than the first. Look at verse 30 of Luke 1. It says, but the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary." Also, that phrase, "do not be afraid," is a pretty common thread running through whenever an angel shows up. "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." "Well, how will this be," Mary asked the angel, "since I'm a virgin?" The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age." This is Zechariah and Elizabeth. "And she who was said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month, for no word from God will ever fail." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May your word to me be fulfilled." Then the angel of the Lord left her. Melanie Schenkel, in her book about motherhood, Sparkly Green Earrings, she said this about being a mom. She said, "Motherhood is the thing in a woman's life that catches her by total and complete surprise. There's nothing that prepares us for the way that moment cracks open our hearts and pours in the type of pure love we never knew existed." When the angel could announce the news that she would become a mother, but I don't think it was until that blessed night in Bethlehem that the surprise would become so complete, so full, so rich. And while we're talking about surprise, imagine Joseph's astonishment, Mary's fiance, when Gabriel broke the news he was going to be a dad, kind of. Well, Mary and Joseph together then were surprised when they were told that they had to make a road trip when she was almost ready to give birth. And so let's move over to chapter 2 of Luke. "And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, under the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And she's about to have a baby. No room in the inn. That had to be a surprise and not a good one. And that's just one of the ironies of the birth of Jesus, that this is a world that was not prepared for him. And this is also just a foreshadowing of how he would be received at times. Well, they stayed, since there was no place for them to stay there, they stayed in a shelter for animals. It was either a cave or a barn or maybe a stable. And that's why Jesus' first bed was not a cradle. It was a manger. A manger is not a barn. A manger is a hay trough. And so, again, surprised that this is how she would actually have her baby, this baby of great promise that the angel talked about. And then I wonder if the animals were surprised when they went to go get a bite of hay to see a baby lying in their hay trough. So, I mean, surprise is just running everywhere here. Now, next up on the surprise train were a group of shepherds who were minding their own business just outside of Bethlehem on the hillsides with their sheep. Look at verse 8. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. Again, angels, fear. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. Now, if they thought one angel was surprising, check this out. Suddenly is what happened when the first angel showed up. That was pretty sudden and unexpected. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts. That multitude could have meant thousands. A multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. There's a reason that the first words out of an angel's mouth, whenever you read a story of angels connecting with humans in the Bible, are don't be afraid. It's because I'm sure that the word surprise isn't adequate. I think the better word for that would be terrifying. Terrifying when they would encounter an angel. But it's ironic, though, that what at first appears to be frightening turns out to be great news. And that's what happens in life sometimes. Some things at first frighten us. Our next step with God that we see coming is terrifying. But when we take it and we follow him, sometimes we find out that was some of the best news that ever came to us. Look at verse 15. So with this news in hand, here's what we see the shepherds did. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. They went around town telling everybody about this. Verse 19, but Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. So you can imagine, now these shepherds who should be watching their sheep, they're running around town at night, telling everybody about this great news that they've just heard. They've just seen thousands of angels. Maybe other people in the town heard the angels praising God. Who knows? I wonder if all these surprised townsfolk, I wonder if any of them went to go see this baby lying in a manger. Maybe they did. Maybe they didn't. Maybe the shepherds kind of protected their whereabouts so they could rest. Well, anyway, 8 days later, 8 days after Jesus was born, Mary and Joseph made another road trip. But this one was a little less taxing on them. They went to present their baby in the temple at Jerusalem. Now, you would think that they would be used to surprise by now because that's all that had been going on with attached to Jesus. But my guess is they were still amazed when a man named Simeon came up to them in the temple. They're just going to present an offering, which every Jewish family would do after a child was born. And this man named Simeon came up to them in the temple, took Jesus out of their arms, and began to pray over him. And so you can imagine moms, somebody you don't know, just taking your child out of your arms. I would imagine Mary and Joseph were a little bit surprised, but this was Simeon's prayer. Verse 29, he said, Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all the nations. Simeon had been promised that he would not die before he would see the Savior of Israel, the Messiah, this child born, this child of prophecy. And when he saw Jesus, God just let him know, when he saw that baby, this is him. He goes, I can die now. He said, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. When Simeon called Jesus a light of revelation to the Gentiles, he made it clear right there in the temple that Jesus was a gift not only to Israel, but to the entire world. And if anyone was really paying attention to his prayer when he did that, they would have been surprised. Because at that time, the Jews thought that they were God's chosen people just because they were great and because God just wanted to bless them more than others. And yet from the beginning, from Abraham on through all the descendants, all the ones leading up to Jesus, God's plan was for his chosen people to be a light to the Gentiles. We're the Gentiles, unless you're Jewish. And Jesus was a gift for all the world. Well, as if Simeon's prayer wasn't enough, surprise, a lady named Anna, a prophetess or a spokeswoman for God, she did the same thing while they were still in the temple. Look at verse 38 of Luke 2. It says, coming up to them at that very moment, she gave thanks to God. So she starts praising God. She gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. The surprises would continue. Sometime between Jesus' birth and before he was 2 years old, he and his parents had some visitors to their home. Turn back in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 2. It's the book right before Luke. Turn back to Matthew chapter 2, verse 1. And let's see about the next surprise in Jesus' young life. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, where is the one who's been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him. These Magi, we also call them wise men, who came from the east, they probably came from what we know of today as modern-day Iran. They were Persians. They showed up with gifts for the child. They were not Jewish. They were Gentiles. They probably knew about Jesus. They probably had Old Testament manuscripts from the time when Israel had been taken out of, when Judah and Israel had been carried out as captives into Babylon. And when they went there, they left some of their manuscripts there, and so there were people who were still studying those, and they discovered, they connected the dots with this sign and with Jesus. Anyway, when they showed up with gifts of the child, and they were not Jews, this was just another sign yet that Jesus was a gift to the whole world. When they arrived in Jerusalem, they went to King Herod to ask where this new king of the Jews had been born. And I guess they thought Herod was part of the plan. Here's the king of, you know, the king of the Jews right here, and there's a new king of the Jews, so they probably thought there was a connection. There wasn't, by the way, because he was surprised. Herod was surprised as anyone else in the story. Really, more than surprised, it freaked Herod out. It just freaked him out. He felt threatened by the presence of a rival to his throne. And because it freaked him out, it freaked out all of Jerusalem because he was not a good person. And whenever he was upset, bad things happened. The wise men took note. Look at verse 9. After they had heard the king, the wise men and Magi had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, now here's how we know that the wise men didn't come to Jesus' birth. They were in a house. They had already left the stable and had settled in at Bethlehem. They were living in a home there. So on coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshiped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. These were valuable gifts. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. Now, I mentioned that King Herod was surprised and threatened. And so he decided that he was going to take Jesus out of the picture along with all the other boys in Bethlehem, 2 years of age and under, just to be sure he got this supposed new king of the Jews. That's how we know that Jesus could have been as old as 2 years old at this point, because he was trying to cover his bases. And depending on when the Magi arrived and all, that's when he thought it would be. So I would say this, though. You can keep your Magi, your wise men, in your nativity scenes. Okay, don't pull them out, okay? Even though they didn't see him as a newborn babe. They were a little late to the party, but they were still part of the story, so leave them in there. It's cool. Well, when God warned Joseph in a dream to leave the country with Mary and Jesus because of Herod's evil plan, don't you know? they were surprised again, and it was in the middle of the night that they were surprised. Surprises just continued on throughout the story of Jesus' birth and in his early days. Some happy surprises, like the angels glorifying God. Some surprises, not so happy. Some were painful, like being displaced from their home twice, which some of you can relate to. But in all, as we said here last night, God was with them, literally. And he was working for their good and ours. It is a beautiful story, the story of Jesus' birth. The story of God preparing a child to come and live a life like one of us, to be with us, so it could relate to us and show us what God is like. It's a beautiful story that we need to share over and over with our friends and family. And this is why. Jesus himself said it this way. He said, "For God so loved the world that he gave." He loved the world, not just Israel and Judah. He loved the world that he gave. He gave his one and only son, Jesus, at Christmas time, that whoever believes in him, whoever believes that he was God's son, he lived a sinless life, he died a sacrificial death for us, was buried, but he rose again to prove that he had power over death. That whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Life that begins the moment you step over the line of faith. You don't go from bad to good. You go from spiritually dead to spiritually alive. And eternal life begins at that moment. That's still surprising news, and it's good news. And folks, you'd be surprised how many of the folks that we live and work with, and even some of our family, who don't yet really know and understand that news. So that's a story that needs to be told over and over again, not just at Christmas. I would encourage you, let's tell as many people as we can in as many ways as we can in 28 this story of the good news of Jesus, that God so loved the world, he gave. Let's pray. God, I thank you. I thank you that you are the giver who became the gift. And this is a gift that literally keeps on giving as long as we live. God, I thank you that we can know from your own experience of your son that we can expect to be surprised at life, that some of those surprises that you give us can be frightening, maybe even terrifying. Some of those surprises can be hard to live with, and yet, God, we know you're a good God, and we know that you take care of us, and that we can trust you because you are with us. God, help us as you surprise us in good ways and perhaps maybe not so good in 2018. God, help us to trust you. And help us to know and remind us that we, if we are following you, that we're part of your bigger plan to bring your love and salvation to the world. God, help us to jump on board that. We love you, Father. Thank you so much for giving. Amen.